how you doing? It's Zach Cassie.
Adam Henrique.
Gil Siddle. Tom Crawford.
Todd Warner.
Brett Romberg.
TJ Laramie.
And Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
Yo, what up, everybody? My name is Jacob Moore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports podcast featuring interviews with athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more in and from the Windsor area. Coming to you every other Monday morning on windcitysports.com and anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give us a follow or subscribe on whatever app you might use. Give us a follow, like, or subscribe on any social media you might use, too, because we have a big social media presence at WinCity_Sports on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We also have a YouTube channel, so give us a subscribe on our YouTube channel. Simply search up WinCity Sports, W-I-N-C-I-T-Y is all one word, and you should easily be able to find us. Still bringing you the best in local sports interviews now every other Monday morning, again on WinCitySports.com or anywhere podcasts are found. We'll talk about that again throughout the show. But today is Monday, May 10th, 2021, and it's episode 224 of Win City Sports. We have a good interview coming up this week for you. Coming from all the way from France, in Stéphane Gervais, a former professional hockey player, now strength and conditioning coach for Grenoble, professional hockey team out in France, in Paris, I believe. We're going to get into that in a little bit. We also have actually some news to talk about for once in a while here through this pandemic. Usually, at least this year, not a lot of news on the podcast, just kind of talking to people. And that being said, actually, we were planning on having David Burney, professional golfer, on the show this week. We do have an interview with him ready to go, but I think maybe in 2 weeks from now, hopefully, we'll see what the whole golf situation is like, and it'll be better to drop that one. So next episode should be him. We decided to go with Stefan this time. Again, a guy from Windsor, professional hockey player, junior hockey player as well, played for the Spitfires. He played a couple games for the Spits and as well in Plymouth. Played a lot of junior C and B, but we'll get into that with Stefan in a little bit. But again, we have some news. We have another Windsor native, local athlete, being qualified, making it to the Olympics for this summer. It was supposed to be last summer. We'll get into that in a bit. And as well as some more controversy or drama surrounding the Windsor Arena, something that hasn't came up in a little while, both controversy and drama, and any topic on the Windsor Arena. It's been about a year since then. At the end of 2019, the Windsor Express submitted a proposal to, you know, take over the facility and kind of renovate it to be fit for their games, for their Windsor Express basketball games, as well as, if I'm not mistaken, you know, recreation complex and whatnot. City, after a year and a half, I mean, obviously there's barely no games in the last year and stuff. It's been difficult for them to even show their worth, but the city denied it, and now, if not mistaken, it's up for bids, and they're looking to sell the barn. So yet again, there is another petition going around to save the barn. Not a lot of signatures, and not that it's really going to do much, to be honest, but sign it. I've signed it. Why not? I mean, what do you think we should do with the barn? This has been a topic for many years, and the last couple of years. You know, it's an old building, historic building. What do we do with it? It's sitting there doing nothing. You know, if the doors are locked, there's no point in going inside, and no use for it. But again, a historic building, could be renovated, like I've said before. It's kind of like the matinee complex, recreation complex, the old Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto has been converted to not only a Loblaws on the first floor, a grocery store. From there and up, you go through the Ryerson University's athletic complex, basically. You know, you got like a gym on one floor with like a pool and stuff. The next floor, you got a basketball court. The next, you got a hockey rink. Crazy stuff to think about, but something that they have and something that they could do here in Windsor with the Windsor Arena. Host the basketball games there, and as well as, you know, rent the gym for pickleball, as a friend suggested, or you know, anything you can have a gym for. You have a walking track. I think they had a walking track at the top of the bowl, and then basketball court at the bottom. You can still see the art renditions from 2 years ago, almost at the end of 2019. It'd be similar to the Atlas Tube Center if you've ever been out there above the Lakeshore Canadians rink. They have a walking track where, you know, when the games are going on, people sit and watch. So I think, you know, personally, I think we should do something with it. It doesn't have to be hockey. It would be great to have a hockey rink in there. Shit, even a floor hockey, ball hockey place. And that can be done through the gym. And it could be the home of the Windsor Express, a basketball team who, prior to the pandemic, did need to start showing some more numbers. That's what I said at the end of 20 or beginning of 2020. You know, if the Express are going to pull this off, they got to show increased numbers at the WFCU and how it would work downtown. Then the pandemic happened and none of that went down and is likely going to go down for God knows how long. But personally, I'd love to see something done with the barn instead of it sitting there, renovate it, you know, keep the outside, the structure. There's some, you know, building regulations and rules in regards to the historic building aspect of it. It's a heritage piece now. So it's almost 100 years old. 3 more years, it'll be 100 years old. 1924 is when that place opened. But nevertheless, let's talk about our guest this week. That's why we're here. Stefan Gervais, I talked to him on Zoom a little while ago. Again, all the way from France, time difference. It was like lunchtime for me. It was almost bedtime for him. Man, a cool story. As you'll learn, the son of Marty Gervais, as you might know from around here, if you're a big reader into the arts or anything like that. It's his father. Again, former Plymouth Whaler, Windsor Spitfire, went on to the University of BC, and then went overseas to France. Has a cool story about kind of making it there and stuff like that. So let's get into that interview with Stefan Gervais, coming to you all the way from France, a Windsorite, former Windsor Spitfire, former professional hockey player in France, and now strength and conditioning coach out there. Here we go. So right now on Zoom, all the way from France, we have a former Windsor Spitfire who went on to play at the University of BC. He went to play in France for 10 seasons pro, and he's now the strength and conditioning coach for the team he retired from just a few years ago. Stefan Gervais, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. Great to connect with people back home in Windsor.
Always good, right? I mean, you've been out in France for some time now. Even we were talking before, you said you guys just went back to lockdown. So what's it like right now in France? What's life like for you with, you know, with the job and hockey and everything too?
Well, we just, our playoffs got canceled. We found that out about a month and a half ago for our pro team. So we played our last game of the season last Friday. So we ended up only playing 22 regular season games instead of 44. So that was kind of tough to just finish on a meaningless game with no playoffs. And then for our junior team, the under 20 team that I work with, same thing, no playoffs. So we just finished tomorrow. Tomorrow's our last practice. And then, some of the players go on to the Team France, under 20 camp, which, I'll also be helping out with, cause I also work with the Team France under 20. So got another week of good work here. And then, we'll have probably a couple weeks off before we start training for next season.
Was it the same last year that they halted in the middle of last year?
Last year they canceled. We played the quarterfinals, and we're just about to start the semifinals when things just started getting out of control. And so they shut down the season right there. We were able to play a full 44 game regular season, and then we started playoffs. That's why there's kind of some, I don't want to get too much into it, but we ended up playing 22 games this year, and they crowned this other team who finished first place after 22 games. They made them champions. And last year we finished first after 44 games and we didn't have a champion. So they're kind of dealing with that, the legal side of that right now. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, that's a big deal. It hasn't made it across overseas yet. We haven't heard about that one yet, but this is where it all started though. It did all start here in Windsor. Born and raised here in Windsor. Just tell me what it was like, you know, kind of growing up, what area you're from and all that.
From South Walkerville. So grew up not far from Met Hospital. Actually used to live right across the street from Met Hospital with a huge parking lot. So we'd play road hockey every single day, it seemed like. And that was awesome. Grew up playing baseball for Windsor Central as well. So it was kind of playing baseball and hockey, depending on the season, but always loved hockey for sure. And so I stayed in Windsor until I left at the age of 20 to go to UBC, but before that I was always in Windsor, played for the Essex 73s, played for Leamington Flyers, and then a little bit with the Plymouth Whalers, and obviously, you know, the hometown proud Windsor Spitfires got to suit up for a few games, not as many as I would have liked, but that was definitely a special moment for sure.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, better than nothing for sure. I mean, we definitely got to get into that. And like you even mentioned, I was going to say, like, hockey, I'm sure it had to have been a big part of your life growing up, playing all the way to the junior B level, or the Chiefs at, or the, sorry, the Bulldogs at the time, playing with Kyle Wellwood and Mike Scorry, some people that, you know, Mike James, even guys around here that people will know. So I'm sure that was a big, like, learning experience for two, being young and kind of around even a guy like Wellwood, right?
Yeah, Kyle, he's a year younger than me. So I grew up, he played in Essex, like, growing up when he was really young. He was always playing a year up. And I think my first year of travel, I was like, was it maybe Adam Major he was playing? I'm like, this guy's unbelievable. And it, he just kept going and going. And I couldn't believe how good he was. So, when I made Essex Junior C, they were affiliated with Tecumseh, which was the Bulldogs at the time. And Kyle was there. And Kyle was, I think, in his first year, or the only year, I think, that he played there. Yeah. And I got called up for a few games, and I was just, I couldn't believe he dominated at every single level that he played at, and he just kept it going. He was so good playing for the Bulldogs. I remember who else was there. Well, Mike James, we're the same age, so he was always really good at in our age group. Scroy was definitely a man compared to me. I think I was 16, and I'm like, this guy is from another world.
Yeah.
I was only there for a few games that season, so I didn't get to know him too much. But that was the kind of introduction to junior hockey, and getting called up to play with those guys was pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I know it was only a few games, but I hate to, like, skip over those things. Like, even a couple games for a person at that time, so vital, so memorable. So I always like to – and then, again, you look at the team, and it's like, okay, well, we gotta touch upon that just because of the guys that were on it. But like you mentioned, I mean, it kind of seems like you came into your own with the Leamington Flyers. You had mentioned you played with them, and I'm sure that really helped lead you into the Whalers as well, getting a few opportunities, getting called up to the OHL, but mostly, you know, your playing days at the junior level were with Leamington.
Yeah. I made Essex actually, like, even going before that, I was never like a full-time AAA player. I got cut, like, I was a late bloomer for sure, but I got cut almost every year. I got cut from AAA. And that last year, before, I guess it was, at the time it was Bantam Major, I think it's called Midget Minor now. I was up for maybe five or six games and ended up doing okay. But, you know, I was never a AAA player. And, you know, went through a whole summer. I think at the Windsor Ice Park, they had pickup hockey from 12 till 2, Monday to Friday. And I did that for like 2 years straight, almost every single day. Like, I'd walk, I wasn't too far. I'd walk with my hockey bag and skate and just absolutely loved it. And I'd say that really helped me develop my skills. And I'd quit playing baseball, I think, at 14 anyways, which wasn't, I mean, I wasn't going to go anywhere with that either, but just loved hockey and loved playing. So I was getting hours and hours and hours on the ice. And I think that helped with my development. I made Essex and had a pretty fun year and got drafted to Plymouth. 14th round, 293rd overall, which still, I mean, felt like it was number one. It was awesome. Such a cool experience. I think Jason Spezza was first overall that year. I think that's where I kind of really broke out.
When you finally made it, at least getting a call up there to the Whalers, you know, coached by Pete DeBoer, Steve Spott, and playing with some great players as well. Again, just a short opportunity, but again, I don't like to jump over them. So I'm sure that was kind of cool to look back on it now. Maybe at the time you didn't realize.
Yeah, that was amazing. That, for me, that was huge. Even just the day that draft in Brampton, Ontario, waiting the whole entire day, and then getting my name called. I still remember, like, clear as day, the Plymouth Whalers select from Essex Junior C, right winger, Stefan Gervais. I'm like, oh, I just kind of floated down stairs. I was like, this is amazing. It's still one of the greatest accomplishments. And 293rd overall in the 14th round, it didn't matter. It was so awesome, and I still have the jersey today.
Yeah,
so that was so cool. It took me a year to get into a game, though. I didn't have the best year coming out of there. I think my expectations were too high, and I played in Essex again in the second year. And then I got to play some exhibition games, which was really cool. And then as soon as it was World Juniors, they lost a ton of guys to World Juniors. There was Steven Weiss, and then a lot of Americans. I think Damian Serma, Chris Vernarski. Anyways, I got a chance to go. I played online with Carl Stewart and Gregory Campbell, two guys who played in the NHL later. And I got a goal in my third game. I was like, this is, and I played five games and then one at the end of the season. But those are just such great, great memories. Like, I wouldn't trade that for anything. And people always ask, oh, don't you wish you did the scholarship route? And like, man, like, who knows? Like, I took advantage of an opportunity, a small opportunity, and ran with it as far as I could. And if it was six games with the Whalers, that's all it was. But those are amazing, amazing six games. And Pete DeBoer coaching, and later Tom Webster with the Windsor Spitfires. Like, I wouldn't trade those for anything in the world.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, it's the little things that really count in life and in hockey too, right? And it's just like, the way things play out is the way that things play out. You don't like to look back and be like, oh, I should have done this. Could I have done that? It's whatever. You got to do what you got to do, man. And like you mentioned it yourself, like, I'm not too far from the barn right now. You got to play another six games in the OHL, at least the regular season, this time with the hometown team. You know, it had to have been a huge accomplishment, especially back then, playing at the barn, the atmosphere, even in the team that they had. Like, how did it all come to be for you, even?
That was so cool too. So what happened was, Pete DeBoer went to Kitchener in the off season. They gave my rights basically, because it wasn't worth anything. I just said, yeah, you can go to Windsor if you want. And that was Mike Kelly and Tom Webster. I'd see Tom Webster at the gym like every morning, and he'd see me working out, and I was just like, wow, this is perfect. I'll just make sure I come at the same time as the coach and do whatever I can to try to compensate for, you know, not being as good as the other guys. So, I mean, it was really like a family sort of atmosphere. It seemed like the staff was really close. Like, they were, it just seemed like a friendly environment that you wanted to be a part of. They made you feel welcome. They made you feel important. And so with Windsor, I played, I played six games, and I got to play, I think, another six or seven in the playoffs. So I think we went to the conference finals. So once my season in Leamington was done, they took me full time. But the only thing I had to show was a fight. I got into a fight at the barn, and I remember hearing those horns. I'm like, I made it. This is it. Like, yeah. I'm not a fighter, but I fought, who did I fight? Chris Campoli, a guy who played in the NHL. He's you know, a little rugged D-man. I wouldn't say he's a big fighter, but I don't know. I don't know what happened. I just somehow my gloves came off, and I started just trying to get the crowd going, just trying to make it look like I was doing something, but I don't think I connected with a single punch.
Like, hey, we appreciate you stepping up and fighting, but you gotta hit him, you know. Like,
but
hey, any little thing that counts, right? And like you said, like, at that moment, it's like, I can end my career happy. I just had a fight in the barn. Like,
and Tom Webster, I mean, you know, we know he passed away and stuff, and all these memories kind of came up recently, because, you know, thinking about the impact he had on my career, the small part that I've had with the Spitfires, but the huge impact he had on my career, to make it, you know, to put that in perspective, that game, I think I, you know, maybe played three shifts a period or something like that, not too much. But the next day he made a copy on VHS tape of my fight. And he's like, that really got the boys going. Turn the game around. Here you go. I was like, wow, really? You know, he always made you feel important, always made you feel like what you were doing was contributing to the success of the team. At least, you know, from my experience with him, that's what I felt. And I was like, wow, like, he made me feel great. And like, I was actually contributing. And I think great coaches find a way to have everyone pulling on the rope, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure you can attest to that too. I mean, given your kind of role now with the team, and just probably, you know, your career. I hate to skip past any more Spitfire stuff, but obviously from there you move on to UBC. Smart route, get an education, still get to play. So like, what were you studying out there and how did you make the decision, I suppose? Because like you said, you didn't have the OHL package, right?
Right. I didn't have the OHL package. I wrote a letter to the OHA for some sort of scholarship thing. I think I got like $500 or something. Mike Kelly was really nice too. And he agreed to, I think, cover my, maybe gave me, I don't know, to cover my books or something, which he didn't have to do at all. I didn't have any package or anything like that, but he thought that was a good gesture and sure. I definitely appreciated it. So, I had a choice to go to University of Windsor, play in my hometown, or I was trying to go out west and trying on my own. Like I was calling these teams, emailing these teams, just trying to see what things were like out there and get an experience. I wanted to go to a big city. I wanted to go to a city where they had an NHL team. I just love hockey. So I wanted to go somewhere where I could go to morning skates and just be in that atmosphere. And it ended up being UBC. It ended up being UBC for a few reasons. It's a good school, really good school, not easy to get into, which helped me because the Western Hockey League guys didn't all have very good grades. So they mostly didn't go to UBC. So they had some guys that didn't play like full-time major junior and I was able to slide right in there.
Perfect. So the stars kind of aligned. You got to go down there, obviously continue doing what you're doing as well and start to make a career. Did you go for like human kinetics kind of thing?
Yeah, sorry. So I went for human kinetics. I was going to major. I majored in physical education and a minor in English literature. And that's kind of my dad, my dad, Marty Gervais, who's pretty.
That's your dad?
Known. That's, yeah.
Okay. My dad, a little, he's a little bit profound in like literature or something like that, right?
Yeah. He's all about that, author, poet, teaches at the university, publishing course or creative writing, stuff like that. So the English literature with Shakespeare and stuff like that. My dad helped me with with all that stuff.
Love it.
But it was going to give me a class I could teach though, if I was going to be a gym teacher or something like that. So I was leaning towards physical education, mainly because some of our older players had told me, yeah, do that. It's awesome. There's a volleyball class, a basketball class, swimming, mountain biking. I'm like, wow, it's going to help me, graduate, I guess. Yeah. And, so I went that route, but was able to take some electives, which were, like strength and conditioning and sports nutrition, stuff like that. And that's where I really kind of fell in love with that side of it and the sports science stuff. And I think that's, kind of the reason why I've gone on the path that I have now.
Well, that's really cool, man. I mean, I meant to ask actually if there's any relation there. I was like, it'll come up in conversation anyway, but kind of blending two worlds together too, right? I mean, I'm sure growing up, your dad had that influence on you to read and write kind of thing, it's kind of alluded to it, but just love hockey. And now you can kind of blend the two together. That's kind of cool. That's something that I always like to try to do, take your passion and make it your everyday lifestyle.
I think that's the key to life there.
Happiness.
Try and make your passion, what you're doing. And again, looking back at the jobs I had in Windsor, I worked at National Sports Center at Devonshire Mall because I wanted to be in sports and stuff. And then I ended up getting a job at the ice park so I could get to go on the ice like late at night for free and stuff like that. And it was always trying to find a job where you're spending a lot of time that's actually your passion at the same time. So you don't even really realize what's happening. So then being a professional hockey player for 10 years in France was obviously the dream job, the ultimate, So that was even at the level of France is a good level, but it's not, it's not the NHL, it's not the American League, but still, for me, just being present where I am and trying to maximize the opportunity.
I mean, you did it. You did what people set out to do, and that's make a living off the game, off the sport, off of something you love. And that you can't take that away from anybody. You know, it doesn't matter what level. You know, I talk to people and they're like, ah, well, you didn't make it to the NHL. It's like, well, so what? Like, shit, man, look at me. Look at what I'm doing right now. I'd rather be playing hockey anywhere and getting paid for it, right? And you really got to that. That was the beginning of in a sense, traveling. So in junior, you know, you travel around the province playing all the teams, and you start to travel out to BC. I'm sure it was awesome to live in beautiful BC. And then off to France too, right? So you got to kind of see the world through the game. It's another privilege to the sport.
That's hockey. Hockey's gives people, I don't want to just say me, gives people so much. Like, you meet so many people, the contacts you make, the experiences you get. Like, playing at UBC, we flew to every game, every road game. So we're flying to Calgary, we're flying to Edmonton, all the way to Winnipeg. Like, so seeing all of Western Canada from playing hockey was such a cool experience. And I would never have had that had I stayed in Windsor and just played against, you know, in London, Ontario, and, you know, seeing a little bit of Ontario. But that was such a cool thing to discover Western Canada, which a lot of people from Ontario never get a chance to do.
Exactly. That's something I always like to talk about with everyone, no matter where you specifically go. If you can, it's a perk to the job in a way, right? You get to travel around, see Canada first off. Like I'm going to BC and Alberta this summer for the first time, never been to another province. And it's like, to be able to do it on a regular basis, I just think it's so cool, you know? But obviously you make the decision or somehow end up going over to France. How did that all kind of come to be for you? I'm sure, you know, when it's done, there's opportunities. You kind of line up which might be best, and maybe there are some connections there. I don't know.
I have to say it comes full circle, because, like, I mean, it's so weird how things have connected along the way, and it's almost like you trace things back, like, wait, how did I get here? So I would say, I'll give you the short version, but my younger brother, Gabe, was drafted by Kitchener. So he went to camp, and I was supporting him as a great brother would. I was at camp in Kitchener and watching, and he goes in for his meeting or whatever. It was a mini camp, the first mini camp, I think. I just graduated, or I was graduating from UBC. And so Pete DeBoer is the coach in Kitchener, who I had in Plymouth, you know, in my stint there. And so he invites me, myself, and my dad in for the meeting, because he was just drafted. It was a mini camp. It wasn't anything too serious. And then at the end, talking to Gabe, he says to me, he's like, okay, Steph, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, you know, I'm thinking maybe play, you know, maybe in Flint or Muskegon or something like that. And he's like, oh, it's like, go somewhere nice. He's like, okay, listen, Steph, if it comes to that this summer, he's like, give me a call. I know some people. And I was like, okay, you know, cool. Like, I was still thinking I was going to go back towards, you know, closer to Windsor and stuff. And so I finished the season at UBC, or finished the year, I forget. And I call Pete DeBoer in the summer and leave a message, and like, hey, you know, offer still stands. If you know of any opportunities, I'm looking for a place to go. And so he leaves a message like a couple days later. He's like, hi, Steph, Pete DeBoer, call Sean Allard. He's looking for players to go to France. Have a good day. And I remember he left a message. He called me. I was in BC, so 3-hour time difference. He called me. He's a early riser, Pete, and he called me probably at, like, you know, 8 o'clock his time. So we're looking a little early in BC. And so I called this guy, Sean Allard, and hit it off right away. And I end up going to France, just like that. Pete DeBoer gave me a good reference. I hadn't played many games for him, but I hadn't played for him in a, you know, 6 years.
Yeah.
So I ended up going to France off of a recommendation from Pete DeBoer. And, you know, it was just from one little conversation, like, right place at the right time. You know, they draft my brother. If they don't draft my brother, I probably don't cross paths with Pete DeBoer again. And I don't call him, and he doesn't have this guy who's looking for players, and it ended up working out like that. So that's how I ended up over in France, and went over for pretty much no money, an apartment, a car, and, like, not even, I don't even remember. It was like 500 euros, not even $1,000 a month. And I was like, well, I'm coming out of university where I'm paying. So this is this is a bonus. This is great.
Yeah. Well, that's probably awesome. Your first paycheck. You know, I mean, that shows a lot, man. It shows, obviously, networking is everything, something that we don't even really have to touch upon too much, especially in the game of hockey. But the memory of DeBoer, like, holy crap, to remember you. And he could have been like, yeah, I remember you, and that's it. You know, but yeah. He was like, yeah, I remember you. Like, what are you doing? Do you know? And at that time, so you were talking about going to Michigan, basically. So they had, like, the IHL and all those leagues, right? So they had, like, the Fury and the Port Huron Flag. That's kind of what you were looking at, right, basically?
Yeah, I think it was – I don't remember if it was the United League.
Yeah, there was all those different ones. Yeah.
UHL. I was looking at going there. I think it was – yeah, it was one of those teams, and that's where I was kind of leaning towards and didn't really think there was – other opportunities. And the random thing is that the guy, Sean, who now is a skills coach and like assistant coach for the Colorado Avalanche, he was basically looking for guys to come over for free. He was looking for guys finishing major junior that were just looking for an opportunity. And so I wasn't really, they were calling Kitchener for a certain defenseman. Yeah. I wasn't even a defenseman. I had played like half the season at UBC on defense. And this guy's looking for a defenseman. Actually, the first call we had, he's like, I'm looking for a D-man. I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm a forward.
Not me.
You know, I can't do it. But, you know, I played half the year on D, but I'm a forward, and I want to play forward, and I want to have a career and be a forward. And he's like, okay, well, I appreciate you being honest and all this. And then called me back, I think, 10 days later, and he's like, you think you can try to play D? I'm like, I think he couldn't find anyone else. So he's, I'm like, if you promise to let me play forward, then I'll come.
Yeah.
Okay. I promise.
I'll try. Like,
and I never played a single game of forward in 10 years of hockey. So
figures, eh? But hey, you're still there, man. And that's one thing I wanted to touch upon too, is like when you see people, at least guys from Ontario, Canada, whatever, go overseas, they bounce around a bit, maybe league to league, country to country, team to team, whatever it may be. I mean, you played for three different teams, but you played in the same league the whole 10 years. So obviously you found something that you liked and worked well for you, and it must have just been the perfect fit.
Yeah. Well, my name, you know, it was, you know, no one was screwing up my name here. So I was like, this is a good country for me. You know, it was a perfect fit for sure. I can't ignore the fact that I met my wife here. So my wife is from Épinal, where I played my first two seasons. So that was definitely a part of it. But yeah, I mean, I love this country. I've been here now like almost 14 years and worked my way up to kind of the team I wanted to play for. Grenoble has the, you know, I played there my first year. I was like, wow, this rink is amazing. I have to play there. I want to play there. And it took me 6 years, but I finally got a deal in Grenoble. I played 4 years here and transitioned right into the staff as a, for me, the role of the strength and conditioning coach while still playing. So actually my last three seasons here, I was dual, like, strength coach and defenseman.
Yeah. So that's what I was actually going to mention too, because like I'm writing out the questions and I'm like, okay, so you play, mm-hmm. you decide to retire, and now you're the strength and conditioning coach. I was like, wait a minute. Because on, you know, the elite prospects, they have like the two different profiles. I'm like, let's make sure. Let's not, you know, let's be smart about this. And sure enough, 2014, you start doing the strength and conditioning stuff with them. So obviously, you know, given your education and everything, boom, again, another perfect fit. And you don't have to look for a job. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of resumes out there and stuff. At least at that point, like, you decided, you know, can't play forever. So I can move into this. Still stay here with assuming your family at the time, or even your girlfriend, wife, whatever. And again, just the perfect fit, live a new life. And after playing, in a way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. It wasn't, I mean, I started my first year actually in France. Sean, our coach, he was a player coach, which I thought was so cool. He was a player coach.
Exactly.
He's like, Jervs, you got to do our training too. Cause he knew I was working in Vancouver for Peter Twist, who was, he was 11 years a strength coach for the Vancouver Canucks. And then he had his private business where he was training, you know, Iron Man, Trevor Linden, and who did he have at the time? Trevor Linden, Eric Brewer. And then we're on the ice with the Sedins. So I was working already in this hockey training company and got to France. And it was so far behind. And so I started right away, actually, doing both jobs. And I think for the 10 years, I think seven of them, I was also strength and conditioning coach for the team. Just officially on the elite prospects in Grenoble was when it really kind of was announced, like, he's going to take on this new role. Yeah. It was more of an internal thing that wasn't too concrete, I guess. It wasn't well known.
Yeah. Of course, everything on there isn't 100% accurate, but, you know, I just like, I'm like, did he do the Reg Dunlop or did he do a transition kind of thing? Right. So glad I looked that one up to be sure, but I don't know, man. It's cool to see people from Windsor, obviously, doing their thing overseas, making a living. I mean, I know you guys are in lockdown too, but it's not the greatest here in Ontario right now. So you get to live a good life out there. And it's just cool to see. Like, do you ever get to come home? I guess you go out to BC in the summers before and stuff like that. Or was that a thing?
Yeah, I was... I was going back to BC. I was working in Vancouver for Twist Conditioning and training hockey players. And then I started missing home a bit. I think one summer I went back to Windsor. And then I haven't been back to Vancouver since 2010. So every summer from then on, I was coming back to Windsor to train. I had a little, my own company with my older brother where we trained hockey players as well, local guys in a garage gym and, you know, so we got some good groups out there. We brought, did some training on the ice and was starting to build like a kind of a business at home because I didn't know what the future was going to hold. And yeah, little by little, I was coming back a little bit less to Windsor and then got married in France and then came back even less.
So now you're never
coming. Now, yeah, I went home, last summer we didn't go. We were planning on coming this summer, but now it's going to be a challenge. I don't think it's going to happen, but we're home two years ago when my older brother, Andre, who's a Windsor fireman, he recently got a cottage in Muskoka. So we actually didn't even come to Windsor. We went to Muskoka for the 2 weeks and got to spend it with our whole family. And that was awesome. That was a dream. But I haven't been back to Windsor officially since it's been like 4 years.
Oh wow! I mean, it's always good to come home, no matter what, even if you're going somewhere around here. But again, maybe hopefully next year you'll be able to come back and see what has changed in 4 or 5, maybe 6 short years. Who knows by that time? But again, man, it's really cool to hear from you, to tell your story here on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time all the way from France.
Well, thanks for having me. Hopefully people listen to my story and not like, who's this guy from France? That sounds boring. He didn't win a Memorial Cup with us or anything like that.
He was in the days when they were still at the barn. Forget it.
Yeah, those are awesome days. And hopefully, I mean, the go-tos back home were definitely penalty box, chicken delights, Windsor pizza. Like, how can
not you mention that at the beginning that? When you're like, there's always got to be a little slice of Windsor at home. That's it, man. That's it.
Yeah. No, I miss that. I miss definitely a lot of the stuff from Windsor, and I keep it close all the time.
That's cool to hear, man. Windsor's around the world. So again, thank you for taking the time to do this, bro.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
All right. There we have it, folks. Stefan Gervais on the Wind City Sports Podcast. Thank you again to Stefan for taking the time to do that. Again, all the way from France. He's got a coordinated time, day, and place sometime, you know, to set up the Zoom interview. Cool stuff. Again, a kid from Windsor, got to play for the Spits. Back in the barn days. Made a living off the game, something that we talked about in the interview. And I talk about with all the people, our players that we have on here, doesn't matter what level they've played at or whatever. If you got to, you know, make a living playing the game, you did more than me and some other people. Like, even through this podcast, I mean, being able to play the game is more financially an accomplishment than doing a podcast. But it's cool to talk to these people and share their stories and you know, get it out there. A guy who, you know, doesn't make the headlines here a lot because he's been in France for the last 10 years. maybe more than that by now. You know, played for 10 years and has been living there since. Cool to hear that he still would come down normally without the pandemic and stuff like that. It's just a cool life to live as a hockey player who then gets to travel the world and even, you know, people in North America who are in the NHL coaching or playing in the NHL and then the summer come back to Windsor, rather it be their hometown or if they play junior here and they like to go out to Bell River or Lakeshore or whatever and have a summer home or cottage, even come once in a while. Stuff like that. I mean, it's cool. That's what a lot of people have played in Windsor, played junior in Windsor, end up making it their new home or second home or third home, even. Depending on, you know, your situation, where you're playing and all that stuff. And Stefan's one of them again. Still has ties here in Windsor. His dad is Marty Gervais, not Rick Gervais, I might have mentioned earlier. Poet Marty Gervais, very, very well known in Windsor with the city as well. So, cool to hear. I meant to ask him that before, as you hear in the interview. I was going to say, so are you related to him at all or whatever? Can't just assume it's his dad, you know? And sure enough, comes up in conversation. Again, I always learn something about my guest during or after the interviews, you know? Sometimes after, I'm like, damn, I wish I would have known that before. Not that this is a good example, but it has happened with many guests in over 220 episodes, so... And of course, some repeat guests. But anyway, one person that I do want to get on the show and might be a little bit late right now, Melissa Bishop has qualified for the Olympics yet again. Bishop Niragu, I should say, married to OC Niragu, a former Windsor Lancer alumni and Hall of Famer as well. But Melissa Bishop, she's made it to the Olympics yet again. I believe she was in 2016. She's a runner. She's going to be in the 800 meter dash race, whatever it is, in Tokyo, coming up in July. I believe this was supposed to be in 2020. Now they're calling it the 2021 Olympics with a little bit of flair. 2020NE, get it? But anyway, yeah, another Windsor, not really a Windsorite, but she went to the University of Windsor. She was a Lancer. That's where I was coming up with that. She's actually from Eganville, but representing Windsor, still training here in Windsor with Border City Athletics, if I'm not mistaken, Border City Track Club, Track and Field Club, and as well as the Windsor Lancers. Love to have her on. Maybe after we'll talk about her experiences in the Olympics. We do know that Jordy Steen has qualified for wrestling. I'm not sure about Corey Belmore and some others that you know, we're looking to be. And Brandy McBride, of course, was there in 2016. So it's weird to think now it's been 5 years. Obviously, normally it's 4 years, and that's back when Wind City Sports started too. Actually, that summer was our first. First hit on the airwaves of CJAM FM. But now we'll go through it really quickly. I don't think that there's too much more really out there, but a little bit of Windsor Spitfire stuff. They did have the lottery for the draft, and they got a good pick. They got fourth in the first round, and I think they have another in the first round as well. So they have a good couple of picks coming up. What the team could do with it. It's going to be a weird draft with both the OHL and the NHL draft this year, having barely any minor or junior hockey in the last year. You know, who could they be drafting? Little highlights on Michael Mulder from Power Play Sports. He was putting up some highlights against the Mavericks a few weeks back. We had some Windsor Spitfires in Wyatt Johnson, at least playing for Team Canada in the under 18, which they won the gold there with Connor Bedard. That guy is going to be allegedly the next Sidney Crosby. Windsor's Jacob Robson, he's playing in the AA farm team in Erie right now. And he did play with the AAA team the previous season. So a little bit of an update on him. Aside from that, we don't have a whole lot. Again, this pandemic is slowing us down for news, at least. And as mentioned earlier, they got the petition for the barn up there. It's on our Facebook and Twitter if you want to go and sign it. What should they do with the barn? What do you think? We have a post on Instagram as well. Let us know what you think. But That being said, that is all this week, this episode on the Wind City Sports Podcast. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every other Monday with a brand new edition of the Wind City Sports Podcast, bringing you the best in local interviews with athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more in the sports world here in Windsor, from Windsor, and beyond. You know, maybe if they were played here or stopped here, born here, lived here, anything to do with Windsor, we tie it in to our sports and sports and culture, really. Again, every other Monday on WindCitySports.com or anywhere podcasts are found. Give us a follow or subscribe on whatever app you might use. Give us a review as well. Be honest, be nice. We also have a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at WindCity_sports, and as well as a YouTube channel, Wind City Sports YouTube channel. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever you might use. WINCITY is all one word. But we are easy to find now after, as mentioned, 5 years of doing this show, Wind City Sports. Again, you can follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram at Drake DeMore. But until next time, smell you later.